I got so much stuff going on, all the games. I think I'm missing 9 games being here right now. Yeah, I don't know. It's all ruined. All the kids' sports. It's been ruined, right? By all these dads that didn't make it. No, the dads are great. That's why, you know, they volunteer their time. Just want to teach them it's a game. That's what they say. Just want to teach these kids it's a game. So we're playing 80 of them in 60 days. We have 80 games in the next 60 days.
Amy Marks, Corus, Chris Ranji. It is hour 3 of the show today. We welcome in comedian who you have seen open for Sebastian Maniscalco. He is performing at Helium Comedy Club on Friday. Shows at 7 o'clock and 9:15. Pat McGann joins the show. How's it going, Pat?
It's going good, man. Great to hear you. Hi, Amy.
Hey.
Thank you guys having me.
Well, it's good to have you. We're glad to be to getting you back in town this weekend. But it's, you know, you're talking about youth sports, and we have this conversation on this show all the time. So two childless kids or people in here, we are telling people how to raise their children. youth sports does, from the outside, seem like the worst now. It is so different than when we played.
Oh, I mean, it really is. It's an industry, and everyone's making money but the parents, right? Everyone seems to be getting something out of it. But, I mean, my son had a tryout for his hockey team. He's 10 years old, right? Fourth grade, trying out. You know what the tryout was? Can you come up with $3,000?
Oh, that was my the tryout. Gosh.
Well, did he make it?
And he was cocky about it, too. Like, hey, I made the team. I was like, I know. I got the fraud alert from Chase. You're on the team.
Oh my gosh, it is. I can't tell if youth sports is more like a pyramid scheme or like one of those timeshare scams, but it's something.
It really is. Yeah, and they buying all the equipment all the time, and you know, my son's always got to be at the rink. He's always talking about what coach said. Coach said I got to be there. Like, oh, you found a man on this planet you're listening to?
And like, it's not
you.
You
tell your coach you don't have a car.
This coach.
Tell your coach you were born in 2014 and no one's ready for this.
Jesus. It's so, 2014.
It sounds so awful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's got to be a part of it you love. No? Maybe.
I love the group text because you when you sign your kid up, you also join the team. You're like on the. You got to download apps. You got to join the group. Every team comes with a group text. Ugh. And this is how you find out who the psycho parents are.
Yeah.
This is how, or the ones that are just checked out, like their kid always needs a ride. You're going to get texts all day long. Like, can someone get Jesse? Jesse needs a ride. And then they overshare, you know, they tell you like Brooks can't be at practice tonight. My mother-in-law had a stroke. We're going to be in ICU. So we see things through. Go Knights.
Does that really happen? Please tell me there's been a text where it's like this long, somebody had a stroke, we have to watch out. But go Knights anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's everything I talk about seems to be pretty real. I don't even have to work that hard anymore. I just report the news.
Have you gotten into any scuffles? Because the scuffles happen on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah. You definitely see that. Yeah, there's parents that are just like... They get on the refs. That's the best thing, too. I love the ref. By the way, why are we still dressing these guys up in the black and white stripes? Right? Like, just don't throw it to the guy that's 6'5". Don't throw it to the man with the beard. He's not on the all-girls 5-year-old team. But they're out there, and the refs don't even. There's another people that are making a bunch of money. And they just, like, they walk up and down the court if they're, you know, they're not, like, hustling. But there you are acting like, you know, you dress them up like it's the pros. It's all made up. I don't know.
Well, see, the thing is, you're kind of, again, we don't have kids, but we feel like we get it. I think we get most parents' pain when it comes to the youth sports.
Well,
thing,
here, so. I think the only way that you can not view us with disdain, like we said, talking about kids when we don't have kids, is we do have that objective view where we only see the downside. Like, we don't see the upside. It's not true. Like, well, but there's the love and the pride. We don't feel that. We just see we just see the scammy part of it. So I think in that sense, it's like an objective view. You take the love out of it, and it's just a lot of money.
No, I don't know what it's like to not have kids. I don't know what you guys have, like a life.
No, strangely, Ron still doesn't have a life. I don't know what this guy has either. How long have you guys known each other, by the way?
Oh, man, probably back to like 2008, 9, 10.
Yeah, something like that.
Huh.
Sounds about right.
Long time.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
we miss you in Chicago.
It's good to be missed, Pat. It really is. I'm glad somebody cares about me. Thank you.
Does Pat know that here in St. Louis, because Ronj doesn't share a lot about his life, Pat, that there is a very strong rumor that's almost truth that he's got a secret wife and kids up in Chicago that he goes and visits? Because no one goes to Chicago this much. I don't know if you've met them.
No, I haven't. I don't know anything. I don't know anything.
Shut up, Pat.
That would be a great scam. Now you got me wondering, does he? Like, how does he?
Right, because what do you really know about him? I'm with this guy every day, and I realize I don't know anything substantive about him.
Yeah, he's a mystery.
Yeah,
how
really.
About you? What's your story? You seem like you might be projecting, reflecting here.
Thanks, dude. I'm glad somebody noticed.
Well, I didn't expect it to go that way. Pat, you started comedy, quote, later in life compared to some comedians, right? Like in your 30s?
Yes. Yeah, I was like 31, had a sales job. I actually used to come down to St. Louis for my sales job. I sold like paper and packaging.
Packaging?
Like custom printed bags. And we sold to setup box manufacturers. Yeah, so it sucked. So then I was like, I'm going to do something else.
What was it?
I'm going to hit an open mic and But yeah, I kind of got a late start. And I never really wanted to be on stage. I was kind of terrified of that whole part of it. But I loved, like, you know, making my buddies laugh, or all my friends, you know, we're all like just funny guys, like trying to, you know, bust each other. And I figured I like to write, you know. And there's not really a lot of writing opportunities in Chicago, but they do have stages. You know, they have Second City for improv, and then they have a few stand-up clubs, and they have a pretty solid stand-up comedy scene. You know, in the country, you have, yeah, every town has a scene. St. Louis has a great scene. I know a lot of great comics that have come out of St. Louis, and, you know, a lot of these cities have that. So I went to an open mic, and I was like, hey, I could at least try, you know, give this a shot, not really knowing that, wow, I'd still be doing it 15 years later, but I'm having a great time.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
We talked to Greg Warren a lot, and Greg's, you know, he's one of the comedians locally that you're talking about, and I think he was doing the same thing. I mean, he was in sales and got into comedy pretty late, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he may have, and that is actually one of the first names I think about, first comics I think about when I think about St. Louis. He's very much the guy, and you know, he also kind of showed me that you know, you don't have to really necessarily leave your town. And you know, I've stayed in Chicago this whole time, and that's about, you know, that's easier than ever now with social media and everyone having their own studio in their house. It's kind of paid off, you know, that I never had to relocate. Otherwise, I'd be going back to Chicago to visit my secret wife and kids, like Chris does.
I know, right? It's weird. It's a little weird. I mean, I don't see my in-town family as much as he says out-of-town family. You know. But I mean, you're in sales, and you had to have thought about stand-up comedy before, right? Or did it literally come to you out of left field?
No, it was always on my radar, like kind of like a pipe dream. And I remember my parents coming back from New York City, and they would go to comedy clubs there. I mean, my mom was talking about Jerry Seinfeld before he had his television show, just when he was like a regular on The Tonight Show, you know, and we watched a lot of comedy. So I always just kind of, you know, and growing up in the 80s with, you know, Eddie Murphy was dropping his specials, and, you know, being with your friends, going off to sneak off to watch Raw or Delirious, you know, you just kind of like, wow, this is kind of fun. Like, but never really imagined that I would, because again, like that stage thing was just, I never thought I'd be able to get up in front of people.
And then you end up opening for Sebastian at Madison Square Garden, what, like 9 shows? Were they all sold out?
Yeah.
Well, how was that?
Yeah, I mean, pretty insane. I mean, this guy, there's not a lot of people doing what Sebastian is doing in stand-up. And to be kind of like witnessing that along the way, when I met him, he was selling out comedy clubs. You know, I met him in Chicago at Zany's. And then I started hitting the road with him, doing small theaters. Then we're doing large theaters. And then, you know, this last 2 tours were basically arena tours. So it's fun to be able to do these incredible venues. You know, going to St. Louis and doing the Fox Theater, like there's mm-hmm. a few Fox Theaters around the country, Detroit, Atlanta, and St. Louis. I don't know if there's another one, but those are some of the most beautiful theaters in the country.
Yeah.
And really a great place to do stand up comedy. So it's been pretty wild. Some of the experiences I've had kind of being Sebastian's wingman the last few years.
And your, you know, your comedy special from a few years ago called When's Mom Gonna Be Home? And you did that one at the Vic Theater, which is an old historic theater in Chicago. And that is still available, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Pandora. Wherever you get it, you can find it. When's Mom Gonna Be Home? You'll be here at Helium on Friday. What should we tell people to expect when you get here?
Well, you know, I do have a lot of new stuff. I'm talking about, you know, my kids and, you know, how we're all kind of spiraling from the screens. And I try and keep things, I mean, hey, we got a Pope from the south side of Chicago now, which
right.
is the biggest sign that things are coming to an end, right? I mean, this guy's a White Sox fan. Yeah, exactly.
You're right. Oh, my gosh. I hadn't thought of it that way.
I think they hired him because they're like, hey, he's familiar with attendance issues. And we're all dealing. We're all going through that. So, yeah, I'm excited to get down there. You know, I do it. And then I also, I don't do a ton of crowd work, but in the clubs, maybe a little bit. So I feel like every one of my shows is different. And, you know, I do like to interact a little bit. I'm not asking people to come and start screaming at me, but you know what I mean? I have a lot of fun doing the smaller, more intimate venues. And in Helium is, you know, these independently run clubs that are kind of dotted throughout, they're the best clubs. And Helium is one of those that it's like, you know, they're focused on comedy. And they are focused on cultivating the scene. They're giving people in St. Louis opportunities to get on their stage and, you know, become comics and then kind of grow from that. So it's a great place to be. I'm excited about it.
Well, Pat, we're looking forward to having you here. And tickets are available at patmcgancomedy.com or you can go to heliumcomedy.com. 2 shows Friday, this Friday at 7:00 and 9:15. Pat McGann will be there. It's good to talk to you. Do me a favor and please check up on my wife and kids for me so I can maybe take the weekend off. That'd be nice.
I will. I'll let you know. I really appreciate you guys having me. Good to talk with you guys again.
Good to talk to you too. That is comedian Pat McGann. Again, Helium Comedy Club this Friday, 7 and 9:15. Get tickets at heliumcomedy.com or patmcgancomedy.com. It's Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Well, here you go, Amy. Our texters are never wrong, and the information they impart to us is always accurate. This message to 314-436-7900 says, if you read about the creation of the Lake of the Ozarks, the Lynn Creek area covers an area of old pioneer towns where people buried their dead, and they estimate there could easily be 1,600 graves underneath the lake that were never relocated.
Well,
so that's at least 1,600 dead bodies in the lake.
Well, did they know that when they built it?
I don't know.
Did they find out later? Like, oh, guys, you are not going to believe this. Because would they do that?
I don't know.
I'm making direct eye contact with Chris Ranji, a guy who has never been to the Lake of the Ozarks, and asking him questions as if he is the leading expert.
Let's just put it this way. Do you think during the old pioneer days, there were standards like there are now? You couldn't just create a lake on top of dead bodies now and say, go fish, everybody. Can't do that now, but back then, 150 years ago or whatever.
But that's not when they made the lake.
When did they make them? It just says old pioneer towns.
No, I know. That's where the graves are from.
Right.
Say something. I'm going to find out when the Lake of the Ozarks is.
Oh, you're Googling? No, I think it's totally possible that's true.
1931. I actually didn't realize the Lake of the Ozarks. We are...
Oh, so it's
my
less
goodness.
Than 100 years old.
We are getting close to the 100th anniversary of the Lake of the Ozarks. We got to do something huge. We should broadcast live from Backwater Jacks.
Well, that's what? Another... How many years from now?
We probably won't have a job by then.
Yeah, right. What are you talking about?
But yes, so the Bagnell Dam, I do know that because I would always see the dam, and you can do a tour of the dam. Never did a tour, but wanted to. The dam's construction began in 1921. It was completed in 1931, and that formed the reservoir known as the Lake of the Ozarks.
Did you like dams growing up because it gave you permission to use that word without getting in trouble?
You know what? That's not why I liked it. It was really when I was in my 20s that I really liked it because I found a birthday card that says I wanted to get you the best dam birthday card, and it's a picture of a dam with balloons on it.
This follow-up message, actually, this is from a different person.
Okay.
Who says, fun fact about the lake.
Yeah.
Of the 2,800 grave sites, Union Electric was only able to relocate 1,100 graves. So that's why the rest of them are... still out there.
Union Electric did that?
According to this texter, and our texters are never wrong.
Well, I guess because of the dam. The dam is powering electricity, so that's why Union Electric was in charge of it.
It must be because another follow-up text from a different person says...
Man, these people need to get alive.
I know. Ameren, Missouri played a big part in making Lake of the Ozarks. So Union is Ameren now? Is that true?
I think so.
It must be.
That sounds right. We have our question of the week at Chris Amy KMOX. Which is the better lake, Lake of the Ozarks or Table Rock Lake? And let me tell you, Table Rock is killing it right now.
This message says the Lake of the Ozarks, the water is slimy and warm. Yuck.
Oh, gross.
I don't know that it's not.
Slimy
so I have
and
to take
warm.
That. I have to take that
say,
as truth.
This is true. And I knew this when I was a kid. If you have like a light colored swimsuit, maybe a white one or light pink or light blue, the lake will stain the swimsuit brown. So wear
anywhere
dark,
in the lake, the entire lake.
I believe so.
Okay, are you just saying that?
No, this is what I mean, if I'm wrong, they've got our number, 314-436-7900. I was a child, but that's what I always knew. So when I did go back 20 years later for the first time to the lake 2 years ago, I wore a dark blue swimsuit.
A message from a 314. Innsbruck is better than both. It's quiet and relaxing.
Is that Tom Ackerman?
That's Tom Ackerman's place. Is he there now? He's got to be there now.
Was that him texting?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to check that number because it absolutely could be.
Could be Mr. Ackerman.
You know what was really funny about the text line? So the same system that we use, mm-hmm. I think all the Odyssey stations use them. So I fill in on the sports station in Chicago a lot. And one time I'm getting this text from a guy who's like, stop talking about this. Talk about this other thing. And I'm like, there's something about the messages that felt, I need to see if I have this guy's number. And I did. It was a guy I work with. There's somebody I worked with who was listening
telling
and he was
you.
Getting mad about what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I texted him on the side, said, dude, stop texting me. He goes, oh, you knew that was me? I'm like, yes, I knew it was you. What's the matter with you?
I respect it.
Yeah, me do too. Me do too. What the hell? Am I Grover? At 314 texter, at the Lake of the Ozarks while skiing, had to avoid a floating poop.
No.
That's what they said. That's what
Don't
the message
lie.
Says.
Don't lie on the show.
Well, I didn't say it.
This is a truth sharing show. Truth and speculation.
Another 314 message. The only people who like Lake of the Ozarks are hillbillies and drunkards.
That's not true. That's a Table Rock Lake person.
So you're saying all Table Rock people are hillbillies or drunk?
No. I think the Table Rock person texted in to besmirch the Lake of the Ozarks.
Hmm. Okay. What's that poll doing right now?
I got to start using the word drunkard.
Drunkard's like a really old term.
Yeah.
And the floating poop person says it is not a lie. They promise. They've texted back in. They did have to avoid a floating poo. That's what's happening at Lake. So my question is more relevant.
No.
My question was, is Lake of the Ozarks actually gross?
Well,
that should have been our Twitter poll.
And we haven't heard from anybody who has spent significant time in Party Cove. I really wanted to hear from some people. I've never been to Party Cove because I was 7. And you're not supposed to go to Party Cove when you're 7.
Yeah, that
ain't
for you.
But all I knew was that there were dead bodies and throw up.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. It has been, I feel like you say this every Monday. There's always a lot going on in national politics.
Sure.
And the president today addressing Russia and giving weapons to Ukraine, which is being done through NATO. So we're going to talk to Chris Ciliza, political commentator. He is an independent news creator. You've seen him all over the place. And he's with us when we come back on 104.1 FM KMOX.
I am very disappointed with President Putin. You know, I thought he was somebody that meant what he said. And he'll talk so beautifully and then he'll bomb people at night. We don't like that.
Every Monday, we talk to Chris Ciliza, political commentator. He's an independent news creator on Substack, YouTube, and Newsphere. You've seen him on News Nation. Man, he's all over the place. And with President Trump today addressing Russia and Putin and the delivery of weapons to Ukraine through NATO, all of that coming up today. And it's a good day to have Chris Ciliza on with us. How you doing, Chris?
I mean, it's never boring. I'll say that, Chris. It's always, always, always something. And this is another sort of, I would say, sort of remarkable turnaround for Donald Trump. I mean, you know, it's not so long ago that I was on with you guys talking about the confrontation between Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. And now we're kind of in this place where Trump has suddenly swung to being pro-Ukraine, which is remarkable in the space of a few months.
Yeah, and Chris, obviously, we've been on the air for the past few hours. I haven't seen it yet if Trump has made his official major announcement related to Russia. Was that the threat to levy more severe tariffs, or was there something else?
That's all I have right now, Amy, okay. The very severe tariffs if there's no peace deal within 50 days with Ukraine. You know, is there, I'm always hesitant to say that's it when we're talking, you know, it's 12:30 here in D.C. So I'm always hesitant to say that's it from Donald Trump if we're in the middle of a day. Right. But yes, that appears to be it. But even that, and even the clip you played at the opening of this segment, I mean, I think it is important for people to realize how big a change that is from where Donald Trump has been most of his political life. I mean, this is a guy who didn't publicly criticize Vladimir Putin for years and insisted. And I always remind people in at that summit in Helsinki in his first term when they met, he said he trusted Putin more than he trusted the American intelligence community when it came to Russia meddling in the election, that Putin said they didn't do it and Trump took him at his word. So this is, you know, it is not, you know, a full we are behind Ukraine and we will spend no matter what it takes forever. It is not that, but it really is a significant change of position for Donald Trump.
And just as a clarification, too, Trump was threatening severe tariffs. He is not said anything more about further sanctions, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, tariffs and not sanctions. That is accurate, yes.
And so he's given a 50-day deadline on reaching some sort of deal on this, right? So do we know, Chris, why this flip? Because, you know, I'm glad he got there, whatever it took for him to get there and have the realization that Russia is a bad actor and is not to be trusted. And Ukraine deserves to be protected. I mean, I guess I don't really care how he got to this point, but
he
did. So do we know how?
Not really, Chris. You know, I mean, we know that, you know, and I always say this, like, if you really want to know what Donald Trump's thinking, you need to follow him on True Social because he'll probably tell you, you know, and about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, he was saying, you know, I don't know why Vladimir Putin continues to bomb. He needs to stop, you know, stop Vladimir, that famous post. So I don't know if Donald Trump just sort of came to the realization that Vladimir Putin may be lying to him. I mean, I guarantee you his advisors and members of the U.S. Senate on the Republican side certainly told him that Putin was not a good faith actor, that Putin was would say whatever and then do what he wanted. Maybe that finally broke through for Trump. I mean, there's nothing obvious other than Putin kept saying one thing to Trump and doing something else vis-a-vis Ukraine. And maybe Trump just kind of it reached critical mass. I don't know any other there's no other obvious explanation I see. It's not like he was in a briefing where a light bulb went off or something like that. It appears as though, you know, one too many times that Vladimir Putin told him X and Vladimir Putin went and did Y, Donald Trump, at least for the moment, appears to have wised up about Putin.
Yeah, and it's, you know, people who wanted a stronger stance against Vladimir Putin and Russia, glad that the president has finally come to this decision. But you do look at the calculation from President Trump on why he makes one decision or another, and it feels like there's either a lot of saving face or reading the room because he's an entertainer. He likes a splash. He doesn't want to look bad, but he also wants to stay in the headlines and come across as strong. So that's why we have the back and forth with the tariffs. We have the back and forth with Vladimir Putin that he could end the war in 24 hours to now he is threatening more tariffs. There is no North Star for Donald Trump other than himself and the entertainment value, it feels like.
Totally agree. I always say that this is more of a vibes presidency than we've ever seen before, which is Donald Trump. I like that reading the room idea, Amy, you know, like reading the national room, sort of like what do people want right now? And I think he is, with very few exceptions, tariffs being one, there are very few things that I think from a policy perspective he holds dear and he would not negotiate on. I think at his core, he is a deal maker. He is a guy who wants to get everyone at the table. He wants to make everyone happy. And yes, he wants what's good for him too. But there is not like I don't think Donald Trump has a deeply held belief about how the Ukraine-Russia war should end. For example, I think he wants it to end. I think he would like to play a critical role in it ending because I think he would like to win a Nobel for a lot of reasons. I think he would like the bloodshed to end, but I think he'd also like to win a Nobel Prize. And so it's sort of like he doesn't really kind of care how you get to that outcome if you get to that outcome. And I think that explains some of his what I would say are clearly shifting positions.
What also seems to be a shifting position is his position on the Epstein files, which they say now didn't exist. There aren't any or of no value or whatever the issue is. Well, Dan Bongino, who is now at the FBI, over this whole thing, apparently is threatening to leave. Do we know the situation there with him and what the latest is? I know they're trying to talk him into staying.
Yeah, all we know is that there was a confrontation at the White House between Dan Bongino, who, for people who don't know, was a conservative radio talk show host prior to becoming deputy director of the FBI. That was his most recent job. So there was a competition between him and Pam Bondi, the attorney general, over this Epstein stuff and the release of this two-page memo. We know Bongino did not come to work on Friday, and we don't know much beyond that. I will say Donald Trump put out a memo, a big Truth Social post on Saturday in which he made clear he didn't badmouth Dan Bongino, but he really pumped Pam Bondi up, which I would think if I was Dan Bongino, reading the tea leaves, that would not look great for me. So I don't know the answer. I mean, look, Trump doesn't want Dan Bongino quitting because he doesn't want the Epstein story in the news anymore. It's already been in the news much more than he would want it in the news. He wants it out of the news. He made that clear over the weekend on Truth Social. So any kind of personnel changes would just keep the story in the news. So I would guess they're doing everything they can to keep him. You know, I don't know if he stays or not. It's, you know, he was an odd pick to be the deputy director of the FBI. And so you sort of never know. So many people in Trump's orbit, they don't operate a normal political rule, so it's hard to know like when they're going to stay and when they're going to go, because I would have told you 3 months ago that Pete Hegseth would be out as Secretary of Defense, and here he is. So,
yeah, it's a little bit shocking, though, with the the abrupt 180 regarding Epstein and the Epstein files. Mm-hmm. And right now, this does seem like the biggest pushback from the MAGA base that I've really seen, whether it's the tariffs or what's going on with Russia or running on one issue and turning on another. But this one, you're actually seeing a little bit of a bubbling pushback frustration that Trump said on Truth Social, why are you still talking about Epstein? No one's talking about him. That was a huge, huge issue during the election, a huge issue with the MAGA right. So this could be the one thing that starts to create a lasting rift, maybe.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like that, this is the thing that the sort of MAGA online influence community, which is big and influential, isn't willing to kind of bend the knee to Trump on. They were on One Big Beautiful Bill. They have been on a number of other things. But this is a thing where even when he says stop, you know, that True Social post got a lot more comments than it got likes. And if you read through the comments, the vast majority of them are not friendly to Donald Trump. And that is, you know, intra-tribal violence there, right? That is not Democrats. That is Republicans on True Social saying, no, we're not going to give this up. It's fascinating to me. I do think it exposes a rift within the kind of Trump movement. And look, this is the dog who caught the car in some level, Amy, right? Like the Trump world, Donald Trump, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, the FBI director, all of these people made a living either politically or professionally by stoking conspiracy theories in the conspiracy mindset. Well, that's just hard to turn off when you become the people in charge of government. Right.
Yeah.
People just start to say, well, why should we believe you? And I think, you know, they're in some ways they're getting bitten by the same dog that they kind of fed raw meat to for a really long time. And I think they, you know, they don't necessarily know how to control it. I think we're seeing that now.
Yeah. And just to your point, like less than a year ago, J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, was on Theo Von's podcast saying, seriously, we need to absolutely release this list. You know, Kash Patel had said the same thing. This was not an ancillary issue. They did not equivocate when it came to the issue. It was a hard and fast, this is the big bomb, this is the tell-all, is the Epstein list. And it is bizarre to have it now, those same voices, J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, saying it's not real, it doesn't exist. What are you talking about?
Absolutely. Pam Bondi went on Fox News in February and said, I have the Epstein client list on my desk and I'm reviewing it. So then in July, for her Department of Justice to put out a memo and say there's no client list, there's got to be a better explanation. Even if Pam Bondi comes out and does a press conference and says, look, I thought the question was about the Epstein files, not the client list. I misspoke. And just answer a bunch of questions from people. There's got to be I don't think it's going to just go away organically. Right. I think that conspiracy has been stoked for so many years with so many people believing it or believing there's something nefarious going on with Epstein's death and that sort of stuff. I don't think you're going to be able to just kind of ignore it and let it wither away. I think the real question is, what do they do next to try to deal with this fire that is absolutely still burning?
Lastly, Chris, as we say goodbye here, President Biden had an interview, former president, an interview with the New York Times on using AutoPen to sign for his frequent use of it, first of all, and then using it for those blanket pardons. And so this story, how much is behind it and how important is it to follow?
Well, look, I think it is notable that Joe Biden talked to the New York Times a total of zero times during his 4-year term and then gave an interview with them. Apparently, this was last Thursday when he talked to them and the story ran posted on Sunday night. Weird timing. For it, you know, maybe they're trying to bury, the Biden people are trying to bury this story amid all the Epstein stuff. But when I saw it, I was like, so Joe Biden decided to talk about this? You know, my guess is what he's trying to do is give some cover to some of his aides who are going to be subpoenaed about, like, what did they know and when did they know it, to say, look, the president has said he signed all of these documents under his own volition with the auto pen. You know, I refer you to his statement. So it gives them some air cover there, but a little bit odd in terms of timing. Like, why did he decide this was the time to talk to the New York Times?
Chris Saliza's daily newsletter is called So What? You should subscribe to it. Also, you'll see him on YouTube, Newsphere, Substack, contributes to News Nation. He's all over the place, and he's with us on Mondays. Chris Saliza, we appreciate you as always.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a good week.
That is Chris Saliza, independent news creator, joining us again every Monday here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. Polo Asensio and me, Polo, will have a lot to say.
I don't think you'll get a word in edgewise.
Probably not, and that's fine. You know what? I could use the break.
We all.
And so could you.
We all could.
So Polo and me, we will talk to the Cardinals' top draft pick. Liam Doyle will join the show at 12:15. Derek Gould at 12:30. A lot of Cardinals talk coming up. But until then, Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. Amy, I'm just looking at a new video I had not seen yet of the nightmare at Lambert International Airport.
Oh, man, yeah, yeah.
Yesterday, people trying to get out of town. And I had not seen this video. I'd seen a bunch of photos of the security line backed all the way up down the ramp, the where you drive up to drop people off, like down
ever,
that ramp.
If you've ever dropped anyone off at Southwest at Terminal 2, like Ron said, you drive up that little curved ramp. The line was down the curved ramp.
It was
never
down the ramp,
like
and
that.
This I had not seen this one. It was down the ramp into the intersection.
Ugh.
And all the way back to the turn lane, like probably a couple of car lengths back. What? I had not seen that one yet. That's nuts.
So
I had seen
again,
a bunch of photos, but I hadn't seen that one yet.
We know there was a conference with tens of thousands of Seventh-day Adventists. And what we think happened and what we've heard, again, I guess it hasn't been officially confirmed, but a lot of those Seventh-day Adventists were dropped off.
All at once.
All at once, regardless of when their flights took off. That's my...
But what, first of all, why?
Maybe the buses only ran from 6 a.m. to noon, you know, because the conference ended at noon, so everybody took buses.
So that's poor planning, obviously, because you don't want to... Why would people want to... If your flight is not until later, would you want to spend all day at the airport if you don't have to?
Well, no, but, you know, maybe you want to travel with your buddies and save a $50 Uber ride and think, I'll sit at the airport a couple hours longer. Maybe they just did it.
What a nightmare, man. Like, I had seen all those photos and thought, at first, when I saw them last night, I thought, that cannot be real. There's no way this happened. And it did.
And it on a random weekend without something horrible going wrong
at the
airport.
It's like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So I do think that it was... This, they flooded the system with people all at once.
Text message says, Lake of the Ozarks has had problems with E. coli in the past. That's not talked about too much anymore. Not sure why.
Well,
maybe it doesn't happen as often. I don't know.
It does happen, but there's a Lake of the Ozarks radio, I guess, and they'll make announcements on which beaches.
You all right? What's going on over there?
Not to go to. I have an itch in my throat.
You don't have a nut allergy, do you?
I think I just got one.
You think you developed one just now?
Yep.
That's scary.
But they will, on the radio station there, announce like which beaches not to go to. But again, there are a bazillion coves.
So we're asking the question on Twitter, which is a superior? Is that how we've done it? Which is a superior lake?
Well, I think the word we used was better, but...
Because there is a Lake Superior.
Right, and that would be confusing.
Mm-hmm. So it's on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. Vote in our poll. Is it Table Rock or Lake of the Ozarks? So you can do that there.
Table Rock is winning right now. Maybe that's because Lake of the Ozarks people are still at the lake right now.
Maybe.
Maybe they're on the boat.
Maybe
they're not listening.
We've had some people really insulting the Ozarks. Like the one guy who said hillbillies and drunkards, that's all that goes there. And then the other person who said that while they were skiing, they had to avoid a floating poo.
Well, that's gross, but here's the thing. If it's only hillbillies and drunkards, why did Patrick Mahomes build a $10 million house there, allegedly?
Well, there's probably no floating poo where he lives.
Well, that's what I mean. There is over 1,100 miles of shoreline at the Lake of the Ozarks.
And this message here says, we have poo floating around where I work.
Like, Does he not say where he works?
Well, you know, he doesn't say where he works. So is it the treatment plant? Do you work in the treatment plant or one of them? Let us know.
Yeah, and because then that's what you would expect. I don't know what else you would expect. Well, Ranji here, ladies and gentlemen, has never been to the Lake of the Ozarks. So if you have a house or a boat at the Ozarks, we need you to host Ranji for a weekend so that he can go.
I don't want to go if there's floating poo.
There's not. It's not everywhere. That was just one. You see that in the Central West End. I walked by some in downtown St. Louis.
I have never seen poo in the Central West End.
I've seen it next to this building.
Okay, well, this is not the Central West
End. It's not, but I'm sure there's some in the Central West End.
I think you're talking about the alley.
Well,
that's a little different.
There was also one on the intersection of Olive and one of the side streets before you get to, sorry, not Olive. I can't remember, 14th and something.
Okay, well.
At any rate, I'm just
saying.
It's
easy to avoid.
Poo happens. It happens. It's everywhere.
But the one place you don't want to see it is in the water. Well, you know what I mean? Like, there's just something extra gross about it, I think.
Well.
Also, Amy, I know we last week a little bit talked about the court overturning the click to cancel thing.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I can't get over how much that actually enrages me. That there was a law, a ruling to reverse the click to cancel, which the idea behind it was a Biden administration era plan that if you signed up for something, that you had to make it as easy to cancel that service as it was to sign up for it. Because a lot of places now you got to call, then they send you to this person and that person, then they try to keep you, and it's a whole ordeal.
It was not, my understanding, it was not overturned on the merit of the case. It was overturned on a procedural issue. I know you like regulation and rules.
I love regulations.
Well, because they didn't follow the regulation and rules, it held it up. And so the laws have to follow the procedures.
We'll see.
And so because there was a procedural error, it got overturned.
But Amy, if they do this right again.
Yeah.
That is a regulation. You are regulating that companies cannot make it impossible to cancel your service.
We want to make it impossible for you to turn off our show.
You can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't turn it off.
You know what you could do? If you missed it, you can go back and get the podcasts. Podcasts are available wherever you get yours. You can even get them on the Odyssey app if you choose to do that. But if you're going to stick around and want to hear some Cardinals talk, then you're in luck. That's what's happening next. Polo Asensio joins me for the Gas House Gang. Cardinals top draft pick Liam Doyle will join the show at 12:15. Derek Gould at 12:30. Hope you stick around for the next hour. Some Cardinals talk coming up. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. This is 104.1 FM KMOX.